Once again, good morning to everyone, and thank you for joining us here at the Southland Area Church of Christ for our worship service, albeit online. And want to say a special welcome to those who are not members but have joined us from different parts of the world, especially back in the Caribbean. Thank you so much for being with us. It's always a special feeling when we get together to worship God. I can understand why David said, "I was glad when they said to me, 'Come, let us go up into the house of the Lord,' because nothing comes remotely close to us being able to worship God, regardless of the pandemic that is presently ravishing our world. We're indeed very grateful that we're still able to worship the Almighty God as we have been doing. We always ask for your patience, especially as we do this online. Sometimes there's always something that, some kind of glitch. And so, but we do hope and pray that as we continue doing this, hopefully not very long, we will be able to work out whatever glitch sometimes happens. Let us go to God in prayer this time. Father in heaven, thank you so much for the privilege we have to worship you this morning. Father, it's not that any one of us is worthy to stand before thee, for indeed we are not. And we're only here, Father, because your grace and your divine mercy have been extended toward us. Thank you, God, for Jesus Christ and what he did on the cross of Calvary. And that has given us justification, has made us innocent when, Father, we were indeed guilty. Father, bless us, O God, with focus. Bless us, Father, to be able to give you total commitment, not just in worship, but outside of worship. For indeed, Father, you richly deserve the best of our worship. Lead us, Father, in the remainder of this worship, and may your name be honored and praised. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. So most of us know that this week, and specifically this Thursday, the United States will be celebrating another Thanksgiving Day. Incidentally, it is on the 26th that the Simmons will be celebrating their 37th wedding anniversary on the 26th of this week. And we do wish them all the best. But so this week on Thursday will be Thanksgiving Day. And if you have been listening to the news, you would have heard that the CDC, the Center for Disease Control, which is based in Atlanta, has recommended against people traveling at this time, obviously because of the pandemic. So to avoid getting infected or infecting others, they have recommended that people not travel during this time. And so those who are in colleges, many of those who are in colleges across this country, those in the military, you know, those who have relatives within the state and outside of the state are also under this recommendation not to travel if you don't have to, all right? But despite all of that, the travel advisory given to us by TripAdvisor or the statistic given to us by Travel Advisor says that 56% of Americans are planning on traveling this week. That is well over 150 million Americans, 56. And when you look at that, against the recommendation given by the CDC and other health professionals, it makes you wonder, what is it about home that people are willing to risk it if they have to, just to get home? You know, when we think about home, the Dictionary of Bible Themes defines the word home as the place of origin or residence to which people feel attached or where they belong. And so notwithstanding the recommendation given by the CDC, people are still traveling in by the millions. Some of you would have seen what is happening at the Chicago O'Hare airport and airports around the country, along with those who would be traveling via road transportation. And I say that to also mention that many of us are familiar, especially the older ones, are familiar with a song that was made popular by Tom Jones, The Green, Green Grass of Home. And in that song, if you know the song very well, you'd know that's in that song. It's about a man who was, he was a condemned prisoner, getting ready to be executed. And all that he could think of at that time was the green, green grass of home. Oh, he longed for home. Just to be able to walk on those, on the green grass of home and to see his long lost loved ones that he hadn't seen for a long time. But that song carries a really special feeling. And we can only imagine how this condemned prisoner would have felt as he yearned for home. Whenever we talk about home, we tend to get nostalgic. As a matter of fact, we cannot talk about the good old days unless home plays a central theme in that conversation. It's almost impossible. Because when God made us, he made us with that yearning for home, which is why almost every one of us at some time or another will experience what we call homesickness. And so for the next few minutes, won't be too long this morning, I want to speak to you on the subject, the green, green grass of home. The green, green grass of home. And there are three things I want to mention regarding this. Because when we think of home, there are some things that we need to be aware of, to be mindful of. So first of all, let us be mindful of a couple of things. You know, when Jesus Christ in John 4 and verse 35, you know, when he was there with all his disciples around him, and Jesus Christ made a comment that I think many of us have overlooked many times. But in John 4 and verse 35, the Bible says,
"Say not ye."
And this is Jesus speaking now, yes?
"There are yet 4 months, mm-hmm. and then comes harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest."
So Jesus Christ told his disciples to lift up their eyes and look around because the harvest is white. In other words, it is plentiful. In other words, what he was calling them to do is to be aware of their surroundings. Be aware of those who are in need of the gospel. In other words, we cannot cocoon ourselves in some little corner and just live our lives like that. We must be aware of those around us, those who are without the gospel. The same thing he did in Matthew chapter 16. In Matthew chapter 16, as Jesus Christ was going through what was called a place called Caesarea Philippi, Jesus Christ turned to his disciples in Matthew 16 and verse 13 and says what? And asked them what?
"Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" Mm-hmm. And they said, "Some say thou art John the Baptist, mm-hmm. some Elias, others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets."
So here, Jesus Christ asked them the question, "Who are people saying that I am?" No, Jesus Christ would not be asking them that question if he did not expect them to be aware of what was happening around them. What are people saying about me? Who do people say that I, the Son of Man, am? In other words, he was calling upon their sense of awareness to answer his question. So what I'm saying is that what is expected of Christians is that we do not bury our heads in the sand, but we have a sense of awareness of what is happening around us and within our society. You know, the National Crime Information Center says that last year, in 2019, 400,000 children went missing. That's last year. Listen to this now. Of that 400,000, 37% of that 400,000, which is about 150,000 or 160,000, were African-American children who make up a meager 14% of the U.S. population. I guess what I'm trying to tell you is that a large portion of that 400,000 that have gone missing last year were African-American children. You and I cannot imagine the pain that a family goes through when they think of a missing loved one. We cannot imagine. Do you recall back in Luke chapter 2? In Luke chapter 2 and verse 41? Oh, do you remember when the parents of Jesus Christ had brought him to the temple, and when they were heading back home, something happened? Read verse 41 following, my brother.
Now his parents went to Jerusalem mm-hmm. every year at the feast of the Passover.
Yes.
And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast.
Mm-hmm.
And when they had fulfilled the days, as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem.
Mm-hmm.
And Joseph and his mother knew not of it. But they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey. And they sought him among their kinsfolk and acquaintance. And when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem, seeking him. And it came to pass that after 3 days, they found him in the temple,
mm-hmm.
sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. And when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. He said unto them, How is it that ye sought me? Wished ye not that I must be about my father's business?
So here we find. So Jesus Christ had been missing, as far as his parents were concerned, for 3 days. They were in a state of sorrow. You can only imagine how they searched frantically to try and find Jesus Christ, like any parents would do. And they found him after 3 days. My point is that their reaction is a natural reaction on the part of parents. No, you think of parents who have been waiting for months and months and sometimes years for a child to be found and nothing. And that is why I'm saying that we cannot even fathom or comprehend what parents or family members go through when a loved one goes missing. We can't. You know, there is an example found in 1 Samuel. And I want us to look at this because it's a rather interesting example. In 1 Samuel chapter 20 and verse 18, here we can recall that Saul was seeking to kill David because David has stolen his thunder, so to speak. And he was seeking to kill David. David's best friend was Jonathan, the son of Saul. And so there was a regular feast that David was supposed to be in attendance to. David was supposed to be there along with Jonathan and others at this feast hosted by King Saul. And David wisely decided not to be there for the sake of preserving his life. But look at verse 18 and let us see what it says of 1 Samuel chapter 20.
Then Jonathan said to David, Tomorrow is the new moon,
mm-hmm.
and thou shalt be missed because thy seat will be empty.
Wow, do you see that? Jonathan said, Okay, I hear you, David. But understand this, your seat is going to be empty. In other words, you're going to be missed. And I say that, brethren, because by Thursday of this week, when many families around this country will be sitting down to celebrate Thanksgiving, there will be some empty chairs. Some who would not have been able to get home because of the pandemic. Some who are incarcerated. Some who are sick in the hospitals, and some who have died as a result. In some cases, not one, but maybe two or three chairs will be empty at the Thanksgiving celebration this week. And again, you and I cannot begin to imagine the empty feeling and how much it's going to affect what must be a unique Thanksgiving come later on this week. So far, over 250,000 have died as a result in the United States alone. We're not talking about worldwide, that number has gone in excess of 1 million. So many have been affected by this. Homelessness, what about that? When we think of home, we cannot think of home unless we also are mindful of those who are homeless. And Chicago has its fair share of homelessness. In the United States, it is said that over 500,000 people are living in cars on the streets, in shelters, in motels, and you name it, right across this country. There are some who do not understand and cannot grasp the concept of home. So when you think about the green, green grass of home, let us understand that there are many who have no idea what we're talking about. The spiritual family, the church, is no different. In the church, it is no different because the church is considered to be the spiritual home of brothers and sisters. And it is a fact, brethren and friends, that no member, no brother, no sister is immune to falling away. Sometimes they go missing, so to speak. Nobody. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 12, let him that thinks he stand, take heed lest he fall, the Bible says. In 1 John chapter 2 and verse 15, the Bible tells us that all that is in the world is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. In other words, the world has nothing spiritually beneficial to a Christian who falls away from the spiritual home called the church. When they leave the church, when a sister leaves the church, when a brother leaves the church, they leave the church, they leave that spiritual home in which they will be without that spiritual encouragement that they so desperately need. We think of the prodigal son. The prodigal son, when he left his father's home, he thought that the grass was greener on the other side, so to speak, only to find out that that was not the case. There are members who have ended up leaving the church thinking that life would have been better for them, but they were only deceived by the devil. John 8 and verse 44, the Bible says that the devil is the father of lies. He is the father of lies, and many have been deceived in thinking that when they leave the church, that life will be better. And sometimes it appears so because the devil is the father of deception. Many, Mark 8, verses 36 and 37. Many are in danger of losing their souls. When a sister leaves the church, when a brother has backslidden, he puts his soul in danger because he's no longer where he needs to be, which is the spiritual home called the church. Look at what Jesus Christ said in Mark chapter 8, verses 36 and 37.
For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?
When a person leaves home, leaves the spiritual home called the church, he endangers his soul. Notice what the Bible says. And what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? And sadly, there are some members who have been drawn away because it may be because of jobs. It may be because of relationships. It may be because they're just bored and they want something far more exciting. And many have backslidden as a result and are in danger of losing their souls eternally. So what I'm saying then is that we must be mindful of what is happening around us. But secondly, not only must we be mindful, we must be helpful. Considering what is happening in our world today, Christians cannot afford to be oblivious to those who are in need of help. Or do you remember that Jesus Christ says that each of us as Christians must be difference makers? We must be the ones to make a difference. In Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 through 16, as Jesus Christ began that great Sermon on the Mount, he says in verses 13 through 16 of Matthew chapter 5.
Ye are the salt of the earth. Mm-hmm. But if the salt had lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden underfoot of men.
Yes.
Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house.
My friend, you know, what this tells us is that each of us must let our light shine. The Lord expects us to do that. And while we're in this world, we are supposed to make a difference in the lives of other people. When we abandon our responsibility in terms of merely just criticizing and talking and doing nothing, when we do that, we have abdicated our spiritual responsibilities as difference makers. Sadly, many of us have made very little difference wherever we are. Very, very little difference. In Galatians chapter 6 and verse 10, Jesus Christ says, through Paul, that we must do good unto all men, especially those of the household of faith. I want you to turn about this to Acts chapter 9, because here is a good example as to what it means to make a mark on the society in which we live. In Acts chapter 9, verses 36 through 39, here is a classic example. Read from me, my brother.
Now there was at Joppa a certain disciple named Tabitha, which by interpretation is Dorcas. This woman was full of good works and alms deeds which she did. And it came to pass in those days that she was sick and died. Whom when they had washed, they laid her in the upper chamber. For as much as little was nigh to Joppa, and the disciples had heard that Peter was there, they sent unto him two men, desiring him that he would not delay to come to them. Then Peter arose and went with them. When he was come, they brought him to the upper chamber, and all the widows stood by him weeping and showing the coats and garments which Dorcas made while she was with them.
No, look at this. Dorcas had died. And the disciples were begging Peter to come quickly. Peter got there. They were showing Peter all the work that she had done. And they were mourning during that time. This lady had made such a difference where she was, that when she died, everybody was affected. Of course, she was raised from the dead by Peter. But the point I'm making is, isn't that what we are supposed to do to make a difference? Instead of blending in with the society, we are to be the salt of the society. The ones that make a difference in terms of how Jesus Christ wants us to live. So here it is, brethren. Here it is. We must be helpful in a time when many are yearning to be home, in a time when many do not understand the concept of home. We must not only be mindful of their condition, but we must be helpful. And by that I mean, what about a local pantry? Is there a local pantry that needs supplies? And maybe you can supply a local pantry. Is there a family that needs help that you are aware of, that you can assist? Can you use your Facebook page to highlight someone who's missing, a child who's missing, instead of using it for all kinds of reasons that are not beneficial to your spiritual life and to the lives of others? In other words, we have got to be helpful. Do you remember that great story that we call the parable of the Good Samaritan? In the book of Luke chapter 10, I don't want us to forget this because it is oftentimes forgotten. In Luke chapter 10, after the lawyer asked, who is my neighbor? And Jesus Christ went on to explain who is our neighbor. And then having explained that in verse 37, listen what Jesus Christ says.
And he said, he that showed mercy on him, then said Jesus said unto him, go and do thou likewise.
You know, that is the crux of the matter. We always think about the man who fell by the wayside, the man who was robbed and all that. Those details are important. But what is most important is the lesson. What's the lesson? Go and do likewise. So in this time, when many are feeling hurt and abandoned and lonely and insecure, Jesus Christ calls upon his followers to go and do likewise in terms of answering the question, who is my neighbor? You know, there's a song we sing sometimes, each day I'll do a golden deed by helping those who are in need. And thirdly and lastly this morning, not only must we be mindful, we must be helpful, but we must also be thankful. Be thankful. And I appreciate Brother Simmons reading that passage of scripture for us this morning. Because in Psalm 103, verses 1 and 2, listen what David said in those two verses, Psalm 103, verses 1 and 2.
Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits.
Oh, so he says, first of all, the idea of blessing the Lord means to praise the Lord, to thank the Lord. That's what it means. So thank the Lord, O my soul. He's calling upon himself to thank the Lord and praise him. And then it says, with all that is within me. And then it says in verse 2, and forget not all his benefits. That's important because we are prone to forget what God has done for us. When things are not going the way we want, when things are going bad, we tend to forget the good that God has done for us. And David is saying, in spite of all that is happening, David is saying, I will not forget his benefits. It was the same David who asked the question, what shall I give back to the Lord for all his benefits toward me? So therefore, because we tend to forget what God has blessed us with, then it is important that we learn to be thankful in every and any circumstance. So the home is more than a house. It's an environment in which we are allowed to be ourselves. You know, people talk about putting up their feet when they're at home. People talk about letting down their hair when they're at home, for those of us who do. It is an environment of encouragement. The home is an environment of forgiveness and patience and support and fellowship. That's the home. These blessings, however, were the kind of blessings that had the prodigal son thought about them, he would never had abandoned his home and went to a faraway country. He would not have done that. Many today, sadly though, many will go to their graves without ever being a part of a home. Many will die and have died, not ever understanding and enjoying the benefits and the comfort of home. You know, the federal data tells us that over 500,000 children right now are awaiting to be adopted in the United States alone. Over 500,000 waiting to be adopted. In other words, they don't know what it means to love and be loved. Because the home is a place where everyone is rooting for you. We're not competing against each other. We root for each other. That's what the environment of the home does. So this Thanksgiving, when we put that proverbial turkey on the table, let us not put the emphasis on that turkey, but the environment and the fellowship and the thankfulness for what God has done for us, especially in such difficult times. Let us be thankful for heaven, which is the home of the soul. Heaven, which is free from sickness and the pain and the sorrow that we are so accustomed to in this world. Revelation 21, verse 4, the writer was quite clear in that passage. It's a passage that every Christian ought to hold dear to his heart. In Revelation 21, verse 4, the Bible says what?
And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there should be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away.
For the former things, all these things that we are afflicted by on a daily basis, John says that these things would have passed away. In that new Jerusalem, in that home of the soul, in that place called heaven, in that place, spiritually speaking, that is called heaven. And I'm saying, my dear friend, it is no wonder why Paul said, it is far better for me to be with Christ than to be in this physical world. So one of the greatest blessings we have in this life is looking forward to heaven, the green, green grass of our spiritual home. Where do you stand this morning? What is your condition? Are you yearning for home, spiritually speaking? The home that Jesus Christ promised to prepare for us in John 14 and verse 1 following? Are you preparing yourself for that prepared place? Wherever you live, whichever community you live, are you aware of those who are in need in your society? Do you only live in a little bubble and it's just about you, yourself, no one else, Jesus Christ calls us to a bigger and more impacting life to make a difference wherever we are. I pray that each of us will respond to the call to not only be thankful for our home, but to be mindful of the society in which we live and to be helpful, especially toward those who are desperately in need of our help. If you're not a member of the body of Christ, you can become a servant, a part of that spiritual home, by responding to the gospel. Not only should you hear it and believe it, as you're seeing on the screen, but you must repent of your sins, Luke chapter 13, verses 2 and 5. You must also confess Jesus Christ as the Son of God and be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. And upon doing that, you must remain faithful unto death so that you can enjoy that spiritual home that the Bible talks about in Revelation 21. At this time, let us bow heads as we pray. Father, thank you so much for heaven that we can look forward to. Father, we are hard pressed on every side. We are inundated by the issues of this life, and many of us feel like giving up. But Father, we are thankful for your word that reminds us that we can be thankful for that home beyond this one here. So the mere fact that we can look forward to heaven, Father, we want to be thankful for that. Thank you, God, for giving us the church with brothers and sisters who care. We thank you, God, for our physical family who are there for us. And Father, as we prepare this week to celebrate Thanksgiving, let us not be oblivious to the needs of others, to those who have lost loved ones and who will be feeling a sense of loneliness and sorrow this week. Let it not be only about ourselves, but also for our neighbors and others. Bless us, Father, we pray in Christ's name. Amen.